Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Wednesday afternoon. We welcome everyone to Bloomington, Indiana, where tonight the Nittany Lion basketball team will take on one of the top 10 teams in college basketball tonight. Cody Zeller, Jordy Hulls, Yogi Ferrell, Christian Watford, Victor Oladipo, Will Shee, Tom Crean's Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana's 16-2 on the season. The last time they played at Assembly Hall, they were beaten by Wisconsin. They bounced back and they beat Northwestern on Sunday. The Nittany Lion basketball team still trying to break through in the conference after the tough, tough loss to Nebraska on Saturday, 68-64. You don't usually try to break streaks when you go to Assembly Hall in Bloomington, but that's what they'll try to do so tonight as the Nittany Lions play Indiana for a second time this season, the first time at the Jordan Center. Indiana won it 74-51. Coming up on today's show, Aaron Carter, the basketball beat writer for the Center Daily Times, will join us. Aaron played his college basketball, by the way, at Bloomsburg. His dad, Fred Carter, played in the NBA for years with the Sixers, among many other teams, the Bullets and so forth. And Aaron will give us his perspective on the college basketball season so far. We'll then go to Pittsburgh, the outstanding sports columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ron Cook will be joining us again. I think it's Cookie's third or fourth appearance on the show. It'll be great to have him on board. So the Sunbury Motors Studios mobile today here in Bloomington. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Woods 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, our hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. For sponsored and powered by Hilshers General Store, go to www.hilshersstore.com. www.hilshersstore.com. Go on that website and you'll find out all the great things going on 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. And also, don't forget, at about 4:20 today, the Kevin Hurd Daily Rant. I'd like to sell this. We find it to be intriguing, confusing at times, but he is the voice of the common man. And we will get the Kevin Hurd Daily Rant at 4:20. Don't forget the podcast from Monday's show in which Kevin confused everyone. That'll give you an indication of where we might go at 4:20. But before we get to that, someone who never confuses us, Dan Patrick with Above the Noise.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price and another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. SunburyMotors.com. The winning team.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence at WKOK's On the Mark program. Tomorrow morning, Williamsport attorney, civil lawyer Cliff Readers, an expert on the Penn State case, comes back to our studios. It's OTM, 8:30 to 10 a.m. on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Oh, boy. All right. We're in the middle of Indiana. We're in Bloomington, where tonight the Nittany Lion basketball team will take on 7th-ranked Indiana. We're going to be carrying high school basketball tonight. Shikellamy swings back into action this evening, correct?
That's right. They're on the road at Mifflinburg, a team that they were able to handle pretty well earlier in the season. But Mifflinburg looking to definitely get some revenge at home, no question.
Revenge.
Revenge.
There's no such thing in sports.
You know what? You always have to take the fun out of... You're like a fun sucker. You suck the fun out of everything.
You may be motivated by what happened the last time, but once you start playing, it just doesn't happen anymore.
Okay, I'm sorry. They'll be motivated to win at home tonight.
You should be motivated to win every night.
Oh, stop it. John, stop it.
You should. You
just
should be.
Stop it.
I've never been a big, oh, this is a revenge match. Oh, for goodness sakes. Okay, explain to me what motivation, how you are motivated by revenge. Explain to me in your own personal life how you are motivated by revenge.
Well, all right, let me give you an example of why I think that this is appropriate. Last time out, Mifflinburg was actually, Shikellamy actually put Mifflinburg into the mercy rule. That's not something you want to have happen again. So, yes, you're motivated, and yes, you would like to get even and say, you know what, that game was absolutely caught us on a bad night.
Okay.
That's why I used the term revenge. It was a chance to get back.
Okay. Sure, if that's what you want to portray to your audience, the motivation happens to be, I guess it's up to you.
Like, one of these days, I would like to have revenge for all the times that you have said something that I, or have you said that I was wrong. I'd like revenge for that.
I didn't say you were wrong. I'm just saying it's just, I've never found that to be a motivator. I think, oh, we're going to have revenge. You know, now, if you want to avenge that loss, as opposed to revenge, that's different. You know, we are motivated. We are not going to let that happen to us again. But revenge?
Okay.
Where does that come in? I mean, that's a negative connotation of what's going on.
Yeah, it does have a negative tone to it. You're right.
You know, I mean, now, if you would like to avenge that loss, well, that's a little bit different. Because now, like the last time through, mercy ruled. That's embarrassing. We're not going to let that happen to us again. I can buy into that. That is a motivator.
Hang on. I'm looking up the definition of revenge here. Let's see. To exact punishment or to right the wrong in the behalf, especially in a resentful or vindictive spirit. To take vengeance for, inflict punishment for.
Okay, now look up the word avenge.
All right, hang on a second.
Because now, I mean, you've just told everybody that tonight's game is motivated by hate.
I knew that was coming next. Let's see. Here you go. To take vengeance or exact satisfaction.
To exact satisfaction.
Yeah, but the vengeance part still sounds negative.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But there's something more soothing to exacting satisfaction, isn't there?
But it doesn't sound as good if I say tonight's game, Shikellamy and Mifflinburg, and Mifflinburg wants to get some satisfaction. It just sounds like I'm trying to make a pun on the Rolling Stones.
Well, you're making it sound like the 2 point guards are going to go at 20 paces. You hate me.
I have nothing. All right, fine. Tonight's game is just a basketball game. There's no real reason to listen.
There is, because can Shikellamy do it again? Can Mifflinburg, you know, right the ship and beat them? Here I am at Indiana. 20 years ago, I was here at Indiana, and I watched Indiana beat Penn State 20 years ago by 48 points, 105-57. Not exactly a pleasant experience. 1 month later, I watched them play at Rec Hall, it went double overtime. Indiana finally won it 88-84. I've referenced this game a couple times now because of the 20th anniversary aspect and the fact that we have Tim Brando. I'm going to get Don Fisher tonight. We're working on getting Greg Bartram for the show that day, just to have, a, you know, 20 years later, have at least a little fun with them. But there was no revenge factor. Like, oh, it was like, hey, look, we're going to show everybody we're a good basketball team. We're going to show everybody the first time through was, hey, that wasn't us. We're going to, you know, and it's an internal motivation. It isn't looking out saying, oh, I hate those people. Get cannons. Let's go.
Mark Lawrence sent me a text that said, if tonight's motivation is vindictive, then every foul is a hate crime.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're gonna sit there and say, look, no autopsy, no foul, then I'm going to tell you right now, that's not exactly the game I don't want to be going to. Okay?
Okay, tonight, yeah. Shikellamy and Mifflinburg are going to play. They had it was a rather one-sided affair. Mifflinburg would not like to have that happen again.
Yeah, up to a point. Look, Shikellamy, first time through, it was all Shikellamy. Mifflinburg looks to turn that around tonight when the two teams play, blah, blah, blah.
I'm not nearly as interested as I was when I heard me talk about it.
That goes back to the most interesting person in the room theory that you've always tried to expound.
I can't win. All right, that's it. I surrender.
Now, if you want to make that part of your 420 rant after Ron Cook, that would be great.
Okay, I'll save it just for you. That'll be great.
No. Everybody, you know, I mean, hey, I feel like I've killed your childhood and your adulthood all at once.
You know, I had different views on things for right up until about a year ago, and then everything just went down the Johnny Flusher.
Yeah. What's the worst one?
What's the worst? Oh, geez, I don't know. I'd have to spend some time thinking about that one.
Oh, just kind of like give me a couple off the top of your head that you're like, you destroyed my...
Well, where was the one where I thought the play was what the heck was that now? There was a play that was actually called in a Penn State game, and you said it, that I thought was called that way, and it wasn't.
Okay.
That was one of them on the top of my head. But like I said, there's been so many, I have trouble now. I can't see. My head is like a hard drive. Sooner or later, you've got to delete some things and make some space. So I figured, you know, Once you've ruined it for me, I figure, well, I might as well delete that one.
Like, for example, I mean, there's a lot of great myths. Like, take, for example, Kevin Kelly's game-winning field goal against Florida State. Okay? You know what the call was on that play, right?
No.
It was a fake. It was second down. The call was a fake. Chris Gander came out. They broke the huddle. And what happened was, for the first time that night, Florida State took the defensive end and flipped him inside into the gap. So Gander looked back at Kevin Kelly, said, we're kicking it. Boom, snap, kick, snuck it inside the right upright, they won. But the call when they broke the huddle was a fake.
See, that's why they should mic the quarterbacks. Because it'd be fun to see how the play changes at the line.
Yes, it'd be a lot of fun to sit in the opposing booth and listen to it.
Well, I didn't say there weren't negatives to this whole thing, all right? But, you know, that brings me up. This weekend, I thought both networks actually had the microphone on the quarterbacks a lot more than we've heard in the past. I mean, I heard a lot more at the line of scrimmage than I think we've ever heard. And I was just wondering, is that a trend we're seeing now because of all the audibles and all the hurry-up offenses?
Well, I think what's interesting, like, for example, if Brady gets up to the line of scrimmage, right, and he'll look over and he'll say 52 is the mic. Now, what's he telling you right there?
Well, he's pointing out the blocking schemes at that point.
Right, but why is 52 the mic? What's that important?
I don't know. Tell me that one. Fill me in on that one.
He's now identifying to the offense and the blocking scheme who the middle linebacker is based on the play that they want to run. So 52 would be Ray Lewis, the middle linebacker. He is pointing out in the blocking scheme who the middle linebacker is. That way they look up and they say, okay, well, he's shaded to the right. This is what we need to do in terms of how to block it.
But doesn't that tell the defense that we know what here's where we're putting the ball?
No, you don't know what the blocking scheme is.
Well, that's all right. That's a good point.
Well, this has been an entertaining opening of whatever minutes for you.
Oh, yeah, it's great. There's a lot of basketball tonight, you know.
Yes, there is. We'll talk to Aaron Carter of the Center Daily Times when we come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Indiana, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Hilser's General Store Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Go to www.hilserstore.com. That's www.hilserstore.com. Big basketball night, 6 o'clock this evening. CBS Sportsnet live from Soica. As this evening, Bucknell takes on Lehigh. Mike Muscala and Bucknell with a showdown. C.J. McCollum won't play for Lehigh tonight, but Lehigh has been playing really, really good basketball, and that will be a great Patriot League showdown coming up tonight. Also tonight, Shikellamy and Mifflinburg as Kevin goes in motivated by hate.
It'll be a great game. You should listen.
Ken, I've got another game.
No, I wasn't talking to you.
Yeah, you know what I've got tonight? Big time revenge matchup.
No. Do you? Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. We're all motivated by revenge. You know, in fact, Brian Segrist was talking revenge all afternoon. All right, so let's get to the basketball writer for the Center Daily Times, and that is Aaron Carter. Aaron played his college basketball at Bloomsburg. His father, by the way, Fred Carter, was with the Philadelphia 76ers many years and is now doing a great job as the beat writer for the CDT. And we bring Aaron in. And, Aaron, welcome to the show. What did you take out of Saturday's loss to Nebraska?
I walked out of there. It had to be a heartbreaking defeat for Penn State. I mean, to play the way they did during that game and make the comeback to get within 3 points and to have 6 free throw attempts and try to at least tie it up. You know, you'd like to see at least a tie game out of that. But, you know, going forward, you know, I'm thinking in my head as I'm leaving, you know, how are they going to respond? You know, how are they going to respond to this adversity? This is a team that's faced adversity all season long, and how are they going to respond? We'll find out.
You also have an opportunity where you've already now seen Michigan State. You've seen Indiana. This will be the second time with Indiana. Ohio State is here on Saturday. You feel like you're getting a primer in the NCAA tournament just by watching Big Ten basketball?
Oh, it's hard not to think that. I mean, you look up and down the Big Ten. I mean, you have Iowa beats Wisconsin the other day. And, you know, there isn't an easy win on the Big Ten schedule. If you're traveling somewhere and you're thinking, okay, we're going to get this win, you know, X this one off on the board, it's not going to happen in the Big Ten. It's going to be interesting to see how many teams from the Big Ten can get into the tournament.
It's going to be very interesting. I think at least the minimum 7 now, and the door might be open to 8, but we still have 53 days to go before Selection Sunday. Indiana, of course, has already played Penn State once. They play tonight here at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. So, Aaron, you saw Indiana the first time, and just not in terms of the matchup with Penn State, but just watching Indiana. What kind of basketball team is this, and why are they considered to be a top 10 team?
Well, that offense is absolutely scary. I mean, what they can do, especially when you think about a guy like Yogi Ferrell, I think that he might be the catalyst to the team. There's a lot of talent on that team. But the way he's able to penetrate the defense and then find those shooters out in the corners, you got Jordan Hulls. And Victor Oladipo is also good at penetrating the defense. But then you also have a guy like Christian Wofford, who is just a mismatched nightmare for anybody. 6'9", can put it on the floor, can shoot it from the outside, can post up a little bit. And then, of course, you got Cody Adelaide down low. So there's no shortage of talent down there.
There's no question about that. Now I want to get into the Zeller part, because as I tell people, I said a lot of people give Tom Crean credit for turning this thing around the way he has. Cody Zeller turned it around. When Penn State played Watford, Oladipo, Hulls, Sheehy, Ellison, that whole group, Penn State beat them three straight times. But since Zeller got there, no. Why is Cody Zeller, what does he do that makes everyone else better besides his own personal game?
Well, he's one of those guys that just does all the little things. I mean, you look at the game up here at Penn State. I've never seen a guy hedge as hard as he hedged on DJ Newbill in the first half and plucked the ball from him, went down the other end and had a dunk. Those little things like that allow guys like Christian Watford to just search out baskets, allow, you know, screen and roll game with Victor Oladipo. Cody Zeller does so much for that team, and it's not necessarily that you're going to dump it to him with his back to the basket and he's going to get you 20 that way. It's just the little things, running out, getting offensive rebounds, getting defensive rebounds. He's a special kid.
Patrick Chambers has only been on this job for 18 months. As you and I both know, Aaron, nobody takes over a job in June of any year in college basketball, yet he had to, which means he's only had one recruiting cycle with players playing, and he just went through his second recruiting cycle. What do you see in him long-term that will make Penn State basketball successful, just based on what you see personality-wise and style on the sideline?
Well, the first thing I'll tell you is when I first got this job at the Center Daily Times, Brian Seegers over there in the athletic department, he sent me some game film so I could get accustomed to the team and what they did last season. I pop in a film, and the first thing I notice is how hard they play, which told me immediately that these guys do anything for that coach, because guys don't play that hard if they don't trust, respect, and believe in the coach. And once you have that, then you're on your way. And then just his attitude, his demeanor, the positivity, it's really infectious. And when you have a guy like that, you know, talent will come. Guys will naturally want to be around him. You talked about Cody Zeller coming and turning Indiana around. Well, everybody is a better coach when you have the talent to support that. And so I think what Pat Chambers will be able to do in the next couple of years is bring in some more guys, add to what they have now, and then I think you'll see Penn State basketball start to turn around.
It's tough for people watching other teams succeed and do well, whether it's another Big Ten team or a Butler or a Gonzaga, and feel like your team is in a holding pattern. Yet again, I go back to the fact he's only been here 18 months and he started in June. How important, in your opinion, Aaron, is the word patience when it comes to what Patrick Chambers needs to do here?
You know, it's so funny that you bring that up, because I was on the Big Ten coaches conference call yesterday, and I talked to Tom Crean about what's the biggest part of building a program, and he told me patience. That's the word they use, patience. He said, you know, as a coach, you have to understand that this is a process. You know, it's a cliche, but Rome wasn't built in a day, and it truly wasn't. And so from a Penn State basketball fan standpoint, I think you see progress out there on the floor. I think you can start to see that, hey, if Tim Frazier is on this team right now, add him to DJ Newbill, Jermaine Marshall, Ross Travis, I think this season is a lot different than it is right now. Of course, you have Tim Frazier hopefully to look forward to next year if he gets the medical redshirt. So then, you know, patience comes a little more easy when you have the talent to support it. And I think next season, I think, will be a stepping stone for Penn State basketball.
Interesting. On the national scene, we just watched Gonzaga-Butler. How much of that game did you get to watch? And if so, what were your impressions, Aaron?
I saw a little bit of it. And Gonzaga, they're just a team that Pat Chambers referenced them earlier in the season. He said a team like Gonzaga, you know, they always make shots. They're not the most dynamic offensive team, but they play hard. And, you know, that hard-nosed defensive mentality keeps them in basketball games. And then the buzzer beater at the end, of course, is a heartbreaker. It's an absolute heartbreaker to lose a game like that.
No question. Then, of course, Butler. Here's the team that's been to the national championship game on a couple of occasions. You looked at them in this battle. What did you think of them? What impressed you about Butler Saturday night?
And Butler's another team that's, you know, that same type of mentality, that same type of hard-nosed, gritty team. You look at that roster, you don't necessarily see a whole lot of NBA talent, but you see a cohesive unit that does all the little things, gets the steals, the rebounds, gets key buckets. And that's such a huge thing. I see a confident team when I see them.
Coming up tonight as well, as Penn State gets ready to take on Indiana at 7, it will be a game at 6 at Soika in Lewisburg between Bucknell and Lehigh. Now, no C.J. McCollum, but still it's the early season Patriot League game of the year before they meet again, of course, later. Saw Bucknell early in this year, and you saw Mike Muscala earlier this year, who didn't have one of his better games. But how good are those two teams, and what does it tell you about the depth in the state?
The state is very deep. Bucknell in particular, I saw them, I went up there to watch them play against George Mason, and they had some of the similar difficulties than they had with Penn State in terms of being able to enter the ball to Mike Muscala. He's a big guy, 6'11", strong, but some of the guys on the perimeter were having a hard time with George Mason's pressure defense. I think that's the same thing that Penn State was able to do to them. But when you have a guy like Muscala down low to anchor that thing, get it into him, play inside out, now you have three-point shooters on the outside, and that makes them a dangerous team come tournament time, because a lot of teams around the country aren't going to be able to necessarily defend a 6'11 guy that can step out and shoot the 15 to 17 footer, put it on the floor, score this back to the basket. Makes it difficult for teams.
The game has certainly changed from where it was 15 years ago. This is now a game of speed, three and sometimes four guards on the floor, and that three-point shot is ever-present. But we're seeing guys like the Zellers, the Muscalas, and so forth. Does that tell all of us and reinforce to all of us the big man still has a very important place in this game?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at college basketball, even pro basketball, you need that solid anchor down low, even if it's not a guy that's going to get you 15 to 20 points a night, but you need a guy that's going to do the hard-nosed things, do the things that allows those guys on the perimeter to kind of do what they do best, and that's hunt for baskets, look for three-pointers, penetrate the lane, and if a big guy can step out and make that 15-footer like a Zeller, like a Muscala, you know, if they can do that, then that makes them even more valuable. So absolutely, don't forget about the big guys. I know it's fun. Everybody wants to see the little guys get up in the air and dunk and shoot the three, but the big guy is very important.
What drew you to college basketball? I mean, and then what drew you here to State College?
What drew me to college basketball, I played Division II basketball at Bloomsburg down the road. I kind of grew up in basketball. My dad played and coached in the NBA back in the day. And so my love for basketball is kind of baked right into my DNA. So I really didn't have a choice. I was exposed to it at a young age a lot. I loved it, still love it to this day. And college basketball in particular, I just love watching the kids develop. You know, these kids on Penn State, they're getting there. They're getting better. I see progress. I see improvements. DJ Newton, Jermaine Marshall, they're getting there. It takes time, but they definitely have talent there. And what drew me to State College is just, you know, an opportunity to cover basketball in the Big Ten. I mean, that's huge. I grew up in the Philadelphia area, as did Pat Chambers. And, I was actually playing in Bloomsburg when Joe Crispin was up here at Penn State. And so I came up a couple times and watched them play. I had some friends that went to Penn State. And so I know the area a little bit. I like the area, always enjoyed it. And I'm just happy to be here.
Actually, the first game I ever broadcast on the Penn State Sports Network was Penn State Bloomsburg. That was back
really?
In 1981.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Long time. Who won that game?
Penn State won 49-48.
Oh, a close one. Okay.
It was a close game. Charlie Cronister was the head coach at Bloomsburg. Dick Carter was the head coach at Penn State.
So yeah. Coach Cronister was my head coach for 4 years.
Yeah. So every once in a while you find out you cross paths and don't know it. So for you, getting into the writing part of it, so many people obviously are getting into my profession or they're getting into writing and they're crossing over. What drew you to the writing part of it, Aaron?
Honestly, it's Michael Wilbon, without question, drew me to it. And I got my master's at the University of Maryland. And I decided to go to that school because George Solomon was the longtime sports editor at the Washington Post, and he was one of the professors there. And once I found out that he was there, you know, I decided, okay, Maryland's where I want to be. Now, George Solomon, he's the guy that hired Michael Wilbon, hired Tony Kornheiser, David Aldridge. You know, a lot of the great guys that came from the Post, George Solomon was the guy who found him and hired him. And
So, and I had the, you know, the good fortune of getting an internship at PTI and got to meet Wilbon and Kornheiser and those guys and spend time with them and pick their brains about this business. And just, you know, I liked the idea of, you know, being that old school reporter like they were. And that's what drew me to it.
Tell us about the PTI experience and take us behind the scenes as to what it is like working with them on that set.
You know, I'll tell you this, it's exactly what you see on TV. They just, they bicker. They go at it all day long. You know, whether the camera's on, camera's off, they're just going at it all day long. It was truly one of the best experiences of my life. It's a time I'll never forget. You know, everybody there, the atmosphere there was so positive. Everybody worked together. It was just a great place to be.
And then you had a chance to pick their brains a little bit, too. When you pick the brain of a Michael Wilbon, what are some things that he said to you along the way that will last and stick with you as your career moves forward?
Well, you know, one of the things that he told me, especially as far as writing goes, he said you really have to make sure that you write in a way that no one can misinterpret what you mean. And it sounds simple, but, you know, a word here, you know, a comma there, you can change the meaning of what you're trying to say. And so it's your job, it's your responsibility as a writer to make sure that you're getting your message across clearly. And I think that that's something that's always stuck in my head, because it's difficult, but that's our responsibility.
Wilbon, of course, has expanded to television, radio. Kornheiser has his national radio show, TV with PTI. Have you thought in your own way down the road of expanding your horizons where you're still writing because of the pure love of it, and that's the basis for what you do, but also maybe diversifying?
Absolutely. You know, it's in this business, versatility, I think, is the key, and that's something that those guys have always taught me. And my dad was with ESPN years ago. He was an analyst doing some NBA stuff. And so, you know, I got to watch him. I got to watch his demeanor, his cadence on television, what he was saying, the rhythm of what he was saying. And so I picked up, some pointers here and there. And I'm looking forward to being able to explore those opportunities and apply what I've learned from him.
Since your dad was at the highest level, did he ever give you any advice on how to treat athletes as a writer?
Yeah, you know, he just told me that don't try to show them that you know the game. Just be yourself, and that will naturally come through. You know, there's sometimes you get in the where you want to show guys, you know, I know X's and O's, I know this, I know that. But, you know, you just have a conversation with a guy. And you treat them, you know, with respect because, you know how hard they work. You know, it's nobody wants to miss free throws at the end of the game. Everybody practices free throws at the end of the game. Nobody wants to miss them. So you treat them with that respect and dignity that they deserve and that they've earned.
Have you felt like through Maryland, through PTI, through your dad, that it has given you a perspective as to how to step back and then analyze a game and a story?
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. And that's not an easy thing to do. You know, there's a lot of things going on at the end of the day. At the end of the game, there's a lot of information that you have to sift through. You have to make sure you get to the most important thing. And I think the experience of PTI for me was news judgment. And watching those two guys dissect stories and come up with the most important part of that story is another lesson that I learned from them that I'll never forget. I mean, that was, you know, that's better than any training you can get in a book or in a classroom or anything like that. Watching those two guys do that was amazing.
Well, Girardi's a Maryland graduate, and then you're sitting in front of me, so I'm surrounded by all of you. So now Maryland getting and making the move into the Big Ten. As a Maryland graduate who's now covering Big Ten basketball, what are your thoughts on Maryland leaving the ACC as a charter member and then becoming a part of the Big Ten?
You know, I have mixed emotions because that Duke-Maryland rivalry is, you know, something to be cherished, something to be missed when it's gone. I mean, you know, that's there's in the ACC, there's Duke and there's Carolina, but for us in the Northeast, it's Maryland and Duke. And so that's something that I'll miss. But I understand the move. I understand the financial aspects of the move, getting to the Big Ten, getting to a bigger conference, the Big Ten network. You know, I understand that. I understand expanding. You know, but it's going to take me some time to get used to it.
Aaron, it was an absolute pleasure. I hope this is the first of many trips on this show, and we appreciate the time you gave us.
Steve, I appreciate it.
Aaron Carter of the Saturday Daily Times will come back with more on ESPN
after this.
Welcome back. Doug Bergson's going to join us at just after the news at the top of the hour. Then Ron Cook from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We'll have that all in the next half hour of the show. That means we have to delay the Daily Kevin Herr rant.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. That's all right. I'm busy right now trying to find all the Indiana bump music I could find. And I figured that was perfect because that's about where you are.
Well, it's John Mellencamp. And you do know, of course, that the indoor practice facility, which Haluba Hall, of course, is Penn State's, Mellencamp Pavilion.
I'm aware.
Is Indiana's indoor practice facility built by, he should be at the game tonight, as a matter of fact.
Can you get an interview with him for tomorrow?
I have no interest. I mean, really.
It's worth a shot, no, you know.
No interest at all. I mean, I've said hi to him before. He speaks very highly of you. He loves the show.
That's great.
Yeah. So. Oh, well. So that's what we'll do. That's right. Meg Ryan was at the game here last time. I forgot it. Last year, Meg Ryan was at the game here.
Big Meg Ryan time. Fan.
Yeah, she was at the game here last year.
Well, if she's there tonight, can you at least get an autograph for me?
No, I don't do those things.
I know. Sorry. That's why I said, can you get one for me?
No, I don't do those things. I think that's... No. You want an autograph from Meg Ryan? Then fine. You go up and walk up to her yourself and salivate. That's not my deal. I kill you, don't I? I mean, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you hate me?
74.
Wow, that's a lot higher than 10.
It was a lot lower before this show started.
Doug Birdsong on Lehigh Bucknell, then Ron Cook next hour.